Back final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in Darren McFarlane, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network as well. Darren, what's going on? How we doing?
Good morning, gents. I think I've been better. It's rainy. We got to talk about last night, and, you know, I'm just saying. But I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here, Darren. And, yes, it was quite something last night in that second period. They allow 7 goals against the Blues. Obviously, that is a franchise record for goals allowed in a single period. What did you think of the weekend as a whole for the Predators? And now as they take on Calgary tomorrow with the next 5-game stretch here against teams that are not only playoff teams, but really, really good teams as well. What do you make of the spot that they sit in here, 4 points up on Vegas?
I mean, it's playing out exactly like we've been sitting here talking every Monday for weeks, right? I mean, it's going to play out to the bitter end, although I still think they're going to get in. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, Vegas is currently 4 points back of them. Vegas is 3 points back of L.A. for that third spot. Vegas did lose over the weekend. L.A. beat Columbus on Saturday night. You know, they haven't been playing particularly well. They were okay against Chicago, a Chicago team that's not very good, and they won. And that's really all that matters at this time of year. You get the 2 points, but I think my concern is just, even in the games they've looked good, I don't know if you guys agree or not, I thought they were the much better team against San Jose, and they won 1-0 in overtime, and I thought they were the much better team. I thought they were the better team in Pittsburgh, and they lost in overtime to the Penguins. I think that's probably the concern for me. Yes, the 2 games last night in Edmonton, it fell apart last night. Everything looked and felt good after one period, even though it was tied at one. I thought the Predators were the better team. I thought they should have been up at that point. And then Tarasenko, boy. Did anybody have a flashback of Ryan Ellis in the playoffs against Dallas? I think it was Dallas on that play.
Holy smokes.
I mean, it was like Carrier is draped all over him, and Tarasenko just kind of shoot him away and scored. And really, St. Louis was off and running after that, and that was the most goals the Blues have ever scored in one period of play in their entire existence. And, of course, the Predators, it was the most goals they've ever given up in their entire existence in one period of play. 6 was their previous high. St. Louis's previous high of scoring goals in a period was 6. So both records were broken on both sides. But I think that's the concern level. They weren't good. They obviously, the compete level was not there in the Edmonton game. They played 2 very good power play units. Edmonton was the 4th best power play unit in the league on Thursday. They scored 2 power play goals and even had a shorty as well. And St. Louis came in as the 2nd best power play unit in the league. And that power play goal at the end of the first period, they scored it in 6 seconds. So I think just right now the concern is just – I don't know what's going on. I still think they're built for success, but right now the same compete level doesn't look there. And even when they look good, even if they get the result, I don't know. You're sitting there going, how should I feel about this? And look, in the end, 2 points is 2 points, but I really thought they should have, things should have been a lot easier against the Sharks. I thought things should have been easier on Saturday. I don't know how you guys feel about that. That's probably just my quick thoughts to the question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're playing well overall, and I agree. I mean, the San Jose game, sometimes you have those games, right, where you really dominate territorially and you just don't finish. But at the same time, gosh, it seems like it just seems like they – for the most part are struggling to manufacture now 5-on-5. And then of course you have all the mistakes yesterday, but then St. Louis, like you said, Darren, they got rolling and they are, that's a really interesting team to me with what they have with those 3 lines and the way they got so many different forwards going right now.
Joe, let me just say this real quick before you ask the question. I'm raising my hand. I totally misjudged this team. This team is way better than I thought. Coming into the season, I was like the Blues. I was like, They're okay. They'll be hanging around. You know, they'll be hanging around and stuff. They're way better than I thought they were going to be coming into the season. So I was dead wrong about St. Louis. That team is damn good.
And with two goalies playing well, too.
Yep.
But do you think with the Preds, I mean, are they running out of gas overall? Is that, do you think that's part of this? And is that even something? Now you got, with this schedule ahead, if that is true, I think there may be some doubt about whether they make the playoffs.
Well, look, it's a fair question. I understand it. I mean, I know that was getting brought up last night. Look, I know in an 8-3 loss, people are going to question why you would go back to UC Soros in a back-to-back situation. But I keep going back to, I'm not going to play couch coach or coach afterwards, because it's easy to react once it's all said and done. Once you've seen the finished product, we can all question everything. I mean, life would be so much easier if we knew what was coming first, and then we could react to what was coming first. I mean, right? How smart would we all be? I mean, that's the way John Hines has operated. I understand we've been trained in this market, and we've been kind of trained, really, over the years that in a back-to-back situation, it was Barry Trotz, standard operating procedures. The starting goalie is going to play one game. The backup is going to play the other. Even Peter Laviolette, standard operating procedures in a back-to-back situation. Starter will play one, the backup another. That hasn't been John Hines, and it's not just this season. Since he's been here, this is what he's done. So I wasn't surprised at all that UC Soros was back in there after the game Saturday morning against Chicago. I just wasn't. Because he's proven over and over again he's willing to go right back to UC Soros in those back-to-backs. You know, should he have played? Should he not have played? David Rittich came in. I understand that's a tough spot. But, you know, goalies come in tough spots and shut things down. And then goalies come in tough spots and they don't look very good. And David Rittich didn't look very good in a tough spot. Just overall, I think the team didn't look very good. So I know everybody – and now the John Hines – crowd is coming back out, and you know, I've already started getting those tweets and feedback. John Hines, you know, it's been very quiet on that front for a while, but you lose 8-3 down the stretch of a regular season, so the gloves are off. I understand the fans are pissed, and I get it, and now they're going to start blaming everybody, and this is what happened. Now it's going to be up to the Predators again, as you guys mentioned, another tough one coming up tomorrow night against Calgary. But they've still got an opportunity to finish this five-game homestand on a positive note and finish 3-2 above 500. And that's ultimately what you want when you look at the schedule of that five-game homestand. If you lose it, you go 2-3, and then, boy, the doubters will really get a little bit louder.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rextro. So, Darren, we talked about this earlier. Forsberg hasn't scored in his last 8 games. Yossi's got, I think, 1 point in his last 6 games. And it does kind of feel like they're searching for it a little bit right now in terms of the combinations 5-on-5 that work. What do you make of the lineup and the way that it is right now? Would you at all consider maybe going back to Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne maybe full-time the next few games?
I think I've made it abundantly clear about that. Look, they're not listening to me, and I get it. Although things did kind of play out that way. To answer your question, I would personally. And I know this is what happens in hockey. Coaches start shuffling things around, and the deck has certainly been shuffled here in the last couple of games. There's no doubt about that. But I've made it abundantly clear. I would move up Tomasino. I would move up Janot. Look, John Hines is not good. For whatever reason, man, it is just – he just freaks out. It's kind of like the way we used to feel about gambling, right? Or not we. I'm not going to say me. But like leagues, like gambling. Oh, no, we could never have a team in Vegas. Ooh, no. Ooh, taboo. Ooh. I mean, you say third line to John Hines, split it up. He goes, ah! I mean, he doesn't want anything to do with splitting up the third line. Even when he does it, he is very quick to go back and put the third line together. I understand that, but I just would do it. I would have Tanner Janot on the second line. He's earned that right. I would move him up. I get it. The third line's been good. Then move the damn third line up and make them the second line. I mean, give them some more ice time. I would do that. I know he will not, but that's what I've been saying. And to answer your question, Robbie, yeah, I would. I'd put them back together. But look, the bottom line is they're going to have to start figuring out a way to start scoring goals, because this is not the time of year for that. I mean, good Lord, could you imagine if somebody does, if Duchesne or Forsberg doesn't get to 40?
Yeah.
Like, what? I mean, Tanner Janot, Forsberg, Duchesne, Josi, it looked like all these records were going to happen. And now you're, you know, Josi getting to 100, Janot beating Forsberg's rookie season with more than 26 goals. I mean, I still believe Duchesne and Forsberg will get to 40. In fact, here's my question for you guys. Forsberg's at 39. Duchesne's at 39. They're at Arizona. It's the last game of the season. Or you don't even have to say it's the last game of the season. In this little, this final games, you're out on the ice, both of you, and you have the puck on your stick, and it's an empty net as you guys are about to win. And both of them are up in front of you. Who are you throwing to? Empty net. Duchesne on one side, Forsberg on the other. Both have 39 goals.
Forsberg's the one's about to get paid, so they're going to pass puck to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going Forsberg. I don't want to deal one of those butt checks in practice.
Okay. So both of you go to Forsberg. That was pretty you guys didn't really even hesitate. Okay.
Yeah, Duchesne will, you know, he'll be fine. He'll shrug it off.
Be all right. What if it was the final game against Arizona and that was going to be the final play of the regular season? One was going to finish with 40 and one wasn't. So you still
I want a final game of the regular season, empty net, a 2-on-0 with those two, and you have to decide if you're going to be that guy and just shoot it in or if you're passing it off.
That's even a better scenario right there. I like it.
Well, if they are in that scenario where they're both still going for 40, are they in the playoffs at that point in the last game of the season?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question, Joe. I would say, you know, they don't want to try that scenario out. I wouldn't feel good about it.
I would not feel good about it whatsoever. Preds taking on the Calgary Flames tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, great stuff as always. Looking forward to the show today coming up at 10 o'clock.
Thank you, guys. As always, keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Darren Thanks, McFarland, buddy. Our guest here on Robbie and Rextro, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You can catch him every day from 10 to 2 on Darren Donica Chase. We'll get your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on Thursday, April 28th and Friday, April 29th on 102.5 The Game, presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live on Thursday, April 28th from Third and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark. You can watch all of our coverage of the NFL draft as well via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So somewhat of a mixed bag for the Preds over the weekend. They do win on Saturday against Chicago, 4-3, the final score. They get the 2 points there, and then they get housed last night, 8-3 against the St. Louis Blues. They give up 7 goals in the second period. One of, if not the ugliest period in the history of the franchise, goal-wise it was. They gave up the most periods or most goals in a period in franchise history last night with 7 in the second period. Just not a great game for the Predators, and now they sit here 4 points ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights. They've drawn even with the Golden Knights in terms of games played, and the Predators have a very difficult schedule coming down the stretch too. Now, our friends at MoneyPuck.com, we've kept up with the playoff percentage chances for the Predators for a few months now. Preds are still at 85% to make the playoffs, according to MoneyPuck.com. So that's a high number. The LA Kings are at 80.7 below the Predators. Vegas at 35.7 to make the playoffs at this point. Now, Vegas taking on New Jersey. They've got another game with St. Louis down the stretch, with Dallas down the stretch, but their schedule is easier. Joe, what do you make of the spot that the Predators are in right now with four points up on Vegas with the same amount of games played, 6 games left for both teams?
Well, I don't think I'd go 85, but again, like anyone in a particular market could probably look at those numbers and say, yeah, but what about this that goes beyond just like, what are the results and like, what's the schedule ahead? I mean, I feel like there's some concern, of course, with how this team is playing, how this team has played largely over the last pretty decent stretch with some exceptions. I mean, the really impressive performance is now the exception. The stinker was the exception in the first half. More nights than not now, it's underwhelming. So I think that combined with an absolutely brutal schedule makes me think 85% is a little bit optimistic. Now, to your point, they're still in position here because they have that lead and Vegas has some tough games. I actually would like to see the Kings schedule.
It's very easy. I've got it pulled up for you. So this is the Kings schedule coming down the stretch. Anaheim, Chicago, Anaheim, Seattle, Vancouver. Not one of those teams are in the playoffs.
Oh, my. Yeah. So those games can be, you know, those games can be tricky. But, yeah, you'd still rather take those teams on than Calgary, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Calgary, Colorado.
Minnesota.
Yeah. And throw in Minnesota on the second day of a back-to-back after coming back home from the road. That's what the Preds are looking at. I think 85% is money puck, not paying close enough attention. But you know, the money puck, these things, it's like the ESPN, like FPI rankings or whatever, like, which, by the way, Tennessee football's not in it for next year, top 25, and people are very angry. The FPI is stupid. It's like, I don't even know. Their formula is dumb. But anyway, I think 85% is a little bit optimistic here for the Preds. I'd put it more like I think I'd put it at like 68%.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, look, it's very possible, I would say likely, that you're going to be going into the game tomorrow against Calgary and you're going to have a 2-point lead on Vegas. Because, you know, the Golden Knights take on New Jersey tonight. New Jersey's awful. That doesn't mean that they can't win against Vegas, but likely you're going to be heading into this game tomorrow with a 2-point lead on Vegas. And you're taking on Calgary. You got Calgary twice coming up in the next week. You got Tampa Bay on the road, Minnesota at home, Colorado on the road. You're hoping that Colorado's not playing for anything at that point. They've already got the West wrapped up. Maybe they have the President's Trophy wrapped up by then too. I don't know. But you're hoping that you're not playing for anything. But even still, like, there's only a certain amount of healthy scratches you can have. It's not like they're going to sit down the entire team coming up against Colorado next week. So, I mean, this is a brutal schedule they've got. Now, if you make the playoffs, you're going to have to earn it. But my big thing is, we talked about it with Darren, 8 games with no goals for Philip Forsberg, 1 point in the last 6 games for Roman Josi, and they just seem to be trying to find combinations that work right now. This is not the time of the year where you really want to be searching for your line combinations. And that kind of seems like what John Hines is being forced to do right now, because the combos they're throwing out there are not working on a consistent enough basis.
Yeah. And, you know, to Darren's point, and Darren has been, honestly, I kind of disagreed with Darren all year, as he said, not all year, but, you know, for quite a while now, he's talked about moves, you know, up because you're struggling to find that fifth and sixth forward to really help to make an impact. I would say that, you know, especially if you're John Hines and you decide, and I agree with you, like, you can't just keep switching everything up all the time. But if you decide, you know what, got to get in the playoffs, let's put the big boys together. Like, that to me, I think another move in tandem with that could be, okay, now bring Janot up for the other center. And I think that might not be a bad way to go. Although I understand the kind of argument which John Hines probably would make, which is, I mean, come on, that line. Still, like, we rely on them so heavily. You know, this is John Hines talking, you know, to do so many things. I can't do it. But I think it's worth a consideration to see what it would look like. The problem is, again, it's like, okay, how much tinkering are you going to do here? In these, like, you know, you need some familiarity and continuity as part of your game as well in these games against really good teams you're trying to beat.
Yeah. And they put, you know, that kind of that young line together as well of Tolvanen and Glass and Tomasino. And I thought they played good against Chicago. They were out there. You know, it's more of a speed game, not really a high, tight checking type game. But against a team like St. Louis, who's a little bit bigger, against a team like Calgary, who's a little bit bigger, Colorado, like, these different teams that you're playing, Minnesota's beefed up too at the deadline. can that young line of those three guys, Glass, Tomasino, and Tolvanen, do they bring you anything? Is that something that you want to keep together, having those three guys together at this point in the season? I don't know. Like, I've actually, you know, yesterday notwithstanding, I've been kind of impressed with Cody Glass. He's been more visible out there, certainly, than he was to begin the season. So I think he's made some improvement. But all in all, like, you got to find a way to get your big guys going again. I still think Forsberg's playing well. I still think Yossi's playing well for the most part, although defensively I thought everybody was pretty much a train wreck last night in the second period. But those guys, if they're not scoring, it's just really difficult for this team to overcome. And right now, really for the first time all season, Forsberg's in a scoring slump, and Yossi has 1 point in the last six games, which I haven't checked, but that's got to be a season high for him in terms of 1 point in six games. Like, it's got to be. So
got to be. Has to be.
It's a – basically, I'm saying they're picking a bad time for them to be going through this problem.
Yeah, and then you look at – no, I agree. And, you know, the schedule, too, if you project – I mean, you know, we're jumping way ahead, but, you know, that Colorado game next week, Colorado could be playing to decide if they want to play you or not, you know?
Yeah.
like with Colorado – you know, if Colorado beats you, they might beat you out of the playoffs, or – you know, you beat them and that's your reward. I could be wrong. I mean, certainly the Preds are still in a position here to get the first wild card, but look at their schedule and Dallas's schedule. And, you know, I just feel like if the Preds get in, it's going to be as a last spot. Am I being too pessimistic?
No, I mean, I think that's right now, I'd probably say that's the most likely just based on the schedule. Now, if you go off and you roll off a win against Calgary tomorrow and you roll off a win against Tampa on Saturday, then you're sitting in a pretty good spot. Like Corey Curtis said earlier, 99 points, he feels like for sure gets him in. I'd probably agree with that, but that's also 8 points out of a possible 12 coming up if you're the Predators. And with that schedule, that seems like a tall task to get 8 out of 12 points against this schedule coming down the stretch. So I agree that 99 gets you in. I don't know if they can get to 99.
Well, 97 has never not gotten you in. So if they get 97 and don't get in, they're the first team in NHL history to get 97, not being the record is 96. So the most
I think points, that's possible.
It is possible. No, it is possible. If they get to 97, I would bet right now that they would limp barely into the playoffs.
Well, there's a huge game next Tuesday, not tonight, but a week from tomorrow, as you're taking on Calgary, regardless. I mean, hopefully you're picking up some points if you're the Predators. You've also got Dallas and Vegas playing next Tuesday, and that could be massive. Like, it could be in a situation where, yeah, you're fighting with Dallas for that wild card spot, but you're probably rooting for the Stars there to just keep Vegas in the dust at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, you know, obviously it's good for you if the teams you're fighting, it means one of them's going to get points, but, you know, what you don't want is an overtime game, I suppose. You don't want one to get one and one to get two, but you still would rather them, you know, have to play each other some, and you should be able to benefit. I think you're right. I think it would be more rooting probably for Dallas at that point.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Call to go Deuce back-to-back, or was that just knew what you were going to do?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you have to make decisions all the time, and, you know, we look at everything when you make the decisions. You don't make them on a whim, and you know, it was an early game. It was over 24 hours rest. It was another early game. There's no travel. You're home. He feels good. So that's why we made the decision.
That was John Hines, Preds head coach, last night on the decision to start UC Saros in back-to-back games. Saros plays on Saturday against Chicago. He starts yesterday against St. Louis as well and is pulled in the second period after the fourth goal. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, what did you make of the decision that John Hines and the Predators made to start UC Saros in back-to-back games? As Darren has pointed out, it's not the first time that John Hines has done that since he's been the head coach of the Predators, but it's not been all that common for John Hines this year. What did you make of that decision to start Saros in both games back-to-back?
Well, I got to go by the rule of easy to second guess, but what did you think at the time before you knew the outcome? Because right now, today, very easy. You can sit there and say, why would you do that? But when yesterday when I heard it, I said, yeah, I get it. And the same reasoning that Hines gave there. I mean, look, I'm not doing at the end, if I'm coaching this team, is saying, man, I didn't play my best players enough and we are out because of it. So I understand. I mean, I think it's a fair thing to bring up for sure. It's an eyebrow raiser, given the fact that he's had more work by far in his career than he's ever had. But I really don't have a big problem with it. I mean, and then Riddick comes in and is bad, but the Preds are bad. Riddick comes right in and he's got pucks whizzing by him. I think Darren's right, though. You know, there have been instances plenty of times when and the backup goalie's brought in and the backup goalie brings a different energy and actually gets a few stops and you have it. Like the game wasn't over yet. I think it was 4-1, right?
Yep.
And as soon as that fourth goal came in, I know I tweeted like, you got to get Saros right now. And they went and got Saros right then. I mean, that was the time to get him. But it's not like Riddick was just doomed at that point to just, all right, let's make this a real laugher now. And yeah, he had to make some saves, but also I think he could have made a couple of those saves and he just didn't. So to the original question, I don't have a huge problem with it. I do think it's going to be an interesting thing. Again, I would assume right now that the plan is just like next Sunday is going to be Riddick after traveling back from Florida. But other than that, I would be planning to go with Saros every other game for sure if needed. If you're playing at the end and even including possibly that back-to-back at the very end, if you have to win both games, I'd go with Saros.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last week because I kind of had a feeling it was going to happen with UC Saros playing over the weekend both games, and he did. Now, again, to your point, you know, if Saros tells you that he's good to go, he has over 24 hours rest, and Saros tells you that he's good to go the next day, then if you're John Hines, I mean, I don't necessarily fault him for doing that. Now, did Saros get pulled last night because he was just awful and he had played the day before and was tired? No, like it started to fall apart on him. And, you know, Tarasenko has a free path to the net on the second goal. The third goal, it's an odd man rush the other way coming back. The fourth goal, I think that was the third goal in that odd man rush. It felt like maybe he was a little too late pushing across the crease there. Is that because he's tired? I don't know. Was it just a good play made by the Blues? They've been making a whole lot of those lately. They've scored four goals or more, I think, in like 12 consecutive games. So you're talking about a dynamic offense yesterday. I'm not sitting here saying that they lost the game yesterday because Saros played on back-to-back days. But when you do look at the numbers, and I think Vengen tweeted this out, I think Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports tweeted this out too yesterday. I mean, traditionally, the numbers, when you start a goalie 2 days in a row, they're not good. And I think this year it's around 883 is the save percentage. And yesterday, Saros finishes at 800. It's just typically, for whatever reason, and I'm sure it's a different combinations of reasons on different situations, but it typically doesn't work out very well for the goalie on the second half of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and it played out that way. So, look, John Hines is if this goes bad, you know, there's going to be a lot of you're always going to be mad at the people in charge, the general manager, the coach, if something goes bad. If the Preds don't make the playoffs here, I think the word collapse is accurate. It's a long collapse, a long, slow, painful collapse, but there's a lot at stake here. I mean, there's a lot at stake. I don't personally think John Hines' job would be at stake. I don't think it should be. If they don't make the playoffs, I think we've seen a lot more good than bad. The problem with John Hines and the fan base, and I think in particular, some people who maybe overreact a little bit, is that he doesn't have the track record so far. I mean, he's building his track record as a young NHL head coach. We had a texter earlier talking about, you know, he ran his goal into the ground in New Jersey too. And that wasn't a very good team. That team made the playoffs on the strength of Taylor Hall having a ridiculous season. But John Hines is going to be an easy target here. And obviously, David, I mean, do I bring back my pun?
Please do.
Yes. Nashville will be back on the map, back on the mat at Poil Train. That's the last time I saw it. It's not.
You're
that,
so
it's not,
proud
it's
of
not,
this.
Yes. I know. It's not
good. It actually, though, is good. When I first heard it this morning, like, I think it's good, Joe. It's really corny, but I think it's good.
I mean, I appreciate it. That was in the 6 o'clock hour. Doesn't it sound more dumb now in the 9 o'clock hour?
You're just not as enthusiastic or enthusiastic.
Thank you,
but I still love it. Yep.
Thank you for your honesty. But anyway, mad at Poil. And that to me, you know, it's totally fair. I mean, look, it's especially the combo here of don't make the playoffs, don't re-sign Forsberg. It will go right back to like January of 2021 when there was a lot of talk about David Poil and where things are going. So there's just a ton at stake here for these guys. And it's just not great to be – it's great to be ahead and to have an advantage at this point, but it is not, I think 85% is way too optimistic. And this schedule ahead, they're going to earn it at this point if they get there, and they're going to have to really figure some things out quickly and dig deep to, I think, to get enough points with this schedule.
Viking Matt on the text line says, it's the worst week of hockey I've ever seen in person. I'm in my fifth year as a season ticket holder. I've never left that early ever. I felt bad for people who don't go to that much and were leaving before the second period was over. This coming from Viking Matt on the text line. I will say, two of the last three home games, Edmonton and now this one last night, not great from the Nashville Predators.
Cheeks. What was the final score of the Edmonton game?
It was 4-0, but they got
4-0. Yeah.
It's 4-0. They got beat from start to finish in that game. I mean, from the opening faceoff until the final buzzer was totally dominated by Edmonton in that game.
Yeah. So 12-3 in those two games. It's, you know, it's, and so the booing, totally fine. Boo away. As Robbie said earlier in his Rob rant, don't shame the people who are booing. That team has deserved some boos of late.
Dustin on the text line says, it does worry me, mainly because I look at Vegas and Dallas and even Vancouver. I see teams playing with absolute heart, and it looks like the Preds are playing a step behind what those teams are playing. It's a big boy league. You might as well be a mile behind if that's the case. Too many passes when there needs to be more shooting. Play simple hockey. Get back to fundamentals. This coming from Dustin on the text line. I'd probably leave Vancouver out of it at this point in terms of the discussion, but I understand what Dustin's saying there.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot to not like and to be concerned about here with this team, without question. There's always the whole thing of like, okay, what about the other side? Hey, the Bengals are good, you know, Joe Burrow, rising star, they go all the way to the Super Bowl. Yesterday, I'm looking at St. Louis and I'm like, I don't think I want to mess with that team the way they're playing right now, but still. 7 freaking goals in one period. I mean, that's an all-time embarrassment. You know, it's the worst period you've ever had in franchise history, and deserves a tip of the cap for being that cheeks.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This Wednesday, join 102.5 The Game at the Smokeville Smoke Shop at 699 West Main Street in Hendersonville from 11 to 2 for their 420 Blowout event. Discount store-wide, free dab bar, food and dessert trucks, and live music. Plus, we'll have your chance to win tickets to the upcoming Preds home game as well. That's this Wednesday from 11 to 2 at Smokeville Smoke Shop in Hendersonville. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back again. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chris texting in says, the Blues had to get past 5 Predators players to get the puck behind the 6th player. There's only so much a goalie can do to stop some of those pucks. And from what I saw last night, the Blues moved the puck better than any team I've seen on that ice in a while. It was coming from Chris on the text line. Blues did look very impressive.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very good. And look, the Preds played well in the first period, and you got to finish, which has kind of been a problem too lately. You got to finish. And you get yourself a multi-goal lead, maybe that's a different game. I mean, shoot, maybe it's a different game if the play that Yossi's right in front there, if that becomes an equalizer versus boom, other way, 3-1, now you're in trouble. So, but, you know, whatever. I mean, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Bottom line is they got smoked. Hey, real quick, Robbie, I've got inside information that that Jared's going to be ripping local media today. So be ready.
Oh, good.
Yes. So I'm gonna make a prediction right now. I'm going to make a prediction that Jared's going to call for at least John Hines' job, if not Hines and Poyle today. That's okay. My prediction. Everybody else in media, soft for not doing the same.
So is this local Preds media he's going to rip, or is this does he specify?
No, I don't have all the information. Okay. I got a source.
This could be back to, concession stands.
And by the way, very, you know, on Friday's show with Chase, I was in Jared's corner on that for the most part, especially with the ridiculous Nashville SC, whatever it was. I appreciate your lazy journalistic ethics or whatever the heck it said. It's ridiculous. But perhaps Jared will step into ridiculous on his own today.
Well, maybe so.
We can all feel like normalcy has returned. Get it done, Jaron.
Brian on the text line says the Preds have overachieved all season. Perhaps they're merely falling back to earth. This is coming from Brian on the text line. That goes back to what I was talking about earlier. This theory that a buddy of mine has floated out that the Preds, the style that they play, it's great, it's fun, it's playoff style hockey. But when other teams decide to play that way and the regular season gets closer to the playoffs, maybe that it kind of highlights who the Predators really are. I don't know that I totally buy into that, but I at least understand where that theory comes from and what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably something to that. I also would say in those two games where you lose 12-3, I think a lot of it was people are just getting behind you and they're just faster than you and, you know, just kicking your butt. I mean, I don't think it was like they got out heavied in those games. They got just outplayed badly.
Yeah.
So, but I understand the idea as we ramp up toward the playoffs, that's what a lot of teams try to do. Like, okay, let's start. Like, well, this is how we got to play in the playoffs. And so your style stands out less, I guess, right? Your style is less of an advantage maybe than it was early in the year when we were all marveling at it and marveling at this team.
Garland on the text line says, is Yossi looking tired in your opinion?
It's hard to believe he wouldn't be.
It's hard to believe he wouldn't be, but this is just kind of his, it's what he does. Like he plays this way every year in terms of he's out there a lot. He's been a great skater from the moment he set foot on ice here. Like I don't know that I buy that Yossi's just tired all of a sudden. Now, I didn't think he played great last night. I thought he got lost a couple times in defensive zone coverage, and that's a problem. But I think more often than not, when that's happening to Yossi, it's because he's trying to do too much out there. It's not usually because he's gassed at the end of a shift or something like that, most of the time.
But, hey, Yossi, you know, the 1.6 games, Forsberg, was it 8 games without a goal? I mean, these things have got to change. And again, that's another part of my doubting this 85% thing, because there's some individual trends that are very troubling right now that have got to change here quickly.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Josh from Columbia texting in says, I have no faith in any of the second line forwards. Johansson or Granlund, one of them gets stuck with crappy players. It's not fair to them. This coming from Josh from Columbia. Well, that depends on how they deploy their guys, right? Like if Duchesne and Granlund are together, you feel okay about that. If Forsberg and Johansson are together, you feel okay about that. But the problem is the third guy. Like, who's the third guy, and can you make that line tick well enough? And so far this year, for the most part, the answer's been no, you can't.
Yeah, so look, I'm as much as I also, again, don't love the idea of let's just play line roulette game after game. The idea of loading up that line again, you know, loading up Duchesne and Forsberg together, and then maybe giving Janot a real look with the other line, with the other center, whether it be Johansson or Granlund. I'm kind of warming to that idea, just to mix it up, shake it up, because the herd line also just hasn't been to me, hasn't appeared as impactful of late.
It's not. And then you got Calgary coming in tomorrow, who, I mean, they're probably going to win their division at this point. I mean, they're looking pretty good to do so, but they still do have Edmonton hanging around, and they're going to want to play well. I mean, this is, and Calgary knows this too. This is a potential first round matchup for you tomorrow. So this is a game for both of them to kind of test themselves to see where they are. Obviously Calgary's getting in the playoffs at this point, but if you're the Predators, this is also, you want to win just because you're in a playoff race, but it's also, you may see these guys again in a couple of weeks. So the style in which they bring to the table, they have speed. I mean, you've got, you know, Johnny Hockey out there putting up 100 points. Matthew Tkachuk is kind of that perfect power forward in today's game. I think he's at 96 points right now. Like, they're a loaded team over there with Calgary. But the style of play, it's more like your style of play. Can you handle that if you're the Predators? I'm interested to see how that goes.
Well, it's interesting, too. If you can, I mean, if you can beat Calgary twice, then you feel good about that. And also, you may have earned yourself a first-round series against Calgary if you do that. If you get 4 points out of those two games, you know, you may not only that would really bode well looking at the rest of the schedule, and you maybe even bode well for, you know, getting the first wild card, which is still, I believe, preferred. I think, like, the Preds, the way they're playing, like, if they limp in, like, you could easily see a Colorado-Nashville series just being a rout
at this point. If the Predators play like they've played for basically the past month against Colorado, they're going to get absolutely smoked in that series. Specifically, if UC Soros plays the way that he's played as of late, and I know it's more complicated than just him, I get it, but it will require him to be great to have a chance against Colorado or Calgary. And if he's not, you're in for probably a pretty short series either way, in my mind.
Yeah, maybe get a game.
So that's what the Predators have facing them, a rough, rough schedule coming up beginning tomorrow against Calgary at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Calgary will be on the second half of a back-to-back. Calgary in Chicago tonight taking on the Blackhawks, and then the Predators on Tuesday as well. So maybe an advantage that you have for you there. The Predators now in second wild card in the standings as well, with one game more played than Dallas in the standings. So it's going to be tight coming down the stretch. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexrode. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Joe Rexrode will have his MAP t-shirt on, Matt at Poyle t-shirt. We'll see what happens on that front tomorrow. Darren Dodick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.